Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
It's Friday, unless you listen to this on Thursday or any other day, in which case it's not Friday, but it's supposed to be Friday.
As far as we're concerned, it's Friday, right? It's not. It's Thursday. Not. But we're saying, for the purposes of this, it's Friday. Whether you are in the future listening to this, you future cunt, right? Fucking waltzing about all snobby because you think you're better.
Lording it over the rest of us.
Laughing at us because we're in the past.
Because right? We've already happened.
Yeah, exactly. Cunt. We haven't got all the fucking... You've probably got a fucking iPhone 20, you cunt. They probably branded it iPhone XX.
Oh, yeah, I've got the new iPhone XX. It's as big as my fucking thumb, but it does everything.
Fuck off, cunt. So if you're there in the fucking future being a smug cunt, right, and it's fucking Tuesday, or even worse, in the future they've invented a new day, which I wouldn't put past them, to try and, as capitalism and neoliberalism gets fucking fully out of control, the next thing you know, Andy, they'll be inventing an extra fucking day so they can get us to work more in their fucking sweatshops,
and
right?
They'll rejig the calendars and time and everything. They'll add another 6 hours. They'll round it up to 30-hour days.
Yeah, and you'll have a new fucking day and it'll be called something like Power Day or something really cunty.
But it'll only be 8 hours long.
They'll have paid an ad agency like, you know, £1 billion to come up with the name for it over a 4-year research period, right? And they've come up with it like, we like it. It's Power Day. It's fresh. It's modern. It sounds good getting. And the best thing is, it'll make the masses believe that it's something good rather than bad.
Fucking hell.
So there you are on Power Day. I just want you to know, you future cunt, right? Yeah. Listen, it's fucking Friday. And if you don't like it, stop listening right now. Listen to one of your Future Time podcasts, right?
Fucking
presented by our sons, fucking Len and Oliver, right? Whatever the fuck they're up to on their fucking podcast, right? Fuck off. If you don't like our day... I'm choking. Oh,
someone's been killed by the future.
I'm choking on a seed. It's a raspberry seed.
It's over.
I made myself a smoothie with some frozen fruits in the forest. And now it's killing me. Anyway, you get the point, you future cunt. You know, we were saying...
Lording it over us. And you're stuck there with your fucking power day. We're here with a traditional 7-day week. Yeah. Everything's all right here for now.
Yeah, old fucking school. This is when we're recording this back in the days when men were men.
Yeah. Except us choking on raspberry seeds while they record podcasts in their homes.
Now, I was at pains to say that it was frozen fruits of the forest because on a very recent fruit-based podcast, I said that I was quite strict about only having fruits that were in season because I didn't like fruits that have been flown around the world.
Yeah.
I don't know when raspberry season is, but October doesn't feel like
it's not October, no.
Yeah. So just know these are frozen fruits.
Right, hang on.
Start writing in.
Yeah, hang on. Where were the raspberry sauce from that were frozen? Does it say on the bag?
Thanks, mate.
Fucking Spain.
I could go and get it. Don't know. Could go and get it now. Not going to.
No. But I'd like you to afterwards.
The truth is, although there is an environmental sort of consideration at play with my insistence on seasonal fruits, the main reason is that it's to do with quality. And if you don't get seasonal fruits, then they will usually be quite flavourless, right?
Yeah.
Fruit and vegetables. Because They've had to be transported over a long distance. They've had to be chilled at very low temperatures for long periods.
Yeah.
It ruins the flavour. So, but with frozen fruits, it's not such a big issue, right? Because I'm
frozen
putting them in
sauce.
A smoothie. Yeah, they're frozen at sauce. I'm putting them in a smoothie, blending them all up. Do you know what I mean?
Chucking on the seeds.
If it was a fresh raspberry that I was perhaps having in a bowl with maybe some single cream on, if I was feeling like exotic, I would insist upon seasonal British raspberries. And that's not racist before you start writing in, right? I just prefer raspberries that have been picked close to my home.
If only the Extinction Rebellion man who stood on top of the train at Canning Town this morning had given a lecture on raspberries, that might have ended better for him. Or maybe
fucking
not.
Fucking hell. What did I say recently about Canning Town? And that's made me eat my words as well, because I was saying all the older guys at West Ham, they all talk about separate areas of East London as if they're separate countries. And I always think, bit weird. Like, you're literally, like, practically neighbours, but you're talking about them like they live in a different continent. But the one they talk about with the most, what should I say, not reverence, but just a sense of sort of awe is Canning Town. They go, you know what he's like. You know what people from Canning Town are like. I mean, Canning Town's fucking mad. I mean, they're a different breed. It's like a different species in Canning Town. And I was thinking, Canning Town? What the fuck are you on about? It's just Canning Town. It's just down the road, isn't it?
This morning.
Right? But that's because I'm not from the East End, so I don't understand the nuances properly.
So was that Canning Town in all its glory this morning then?
Basically, as soon as I heard Extinction Rebellion had gone to disrupt things in Canning Town, I thought, this is going to end really fucking badly. Right?
Extinction Rebellion.
As far as I understand, Canning Town is also one of the last few remaining areas of East London that hasn't been fucking gentrified by a bunch of hipsters, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I might be wrong about that. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it still remains pretty Canning Townish.
Right.
And
it
so
certainly
the poor
looked
old,
this morning from that footage I saw.
They weren't going to tolerate the hippies. I don't understand. I mean, there's been a big discussion, borderline row, on my West Ham WhatsApp group today.
Of course.
Because people have seen this and reacted in different ways. And some people were going, I fucking hate them. This is typical. This sums them up. But no one said they don't believe in the cause. Pretty much everyone's going, no, of course I believe in the cause. I'm not, like, stupid. I don't fucking not believe in global warming. But these people are a bunch of cunts because they're a bunch of hippies. And if they turn up in Canning Town, what do they expect? And I didn't want to get too involved in it because, you know, I didn't want to get... Things can escalate. Next thing you know, you've got industrial ammonia in your boat race, right? But I just sort of...
Is that from previous experience? That statement.
That's why I look like this. But I just think, on the one hand, I think, if they are a bit... Like, obviously you see them fucking dancing about and being all stupid like hippies, and you think, I wouldn't probably want to hang around with these people. But fair play to them. You know, they're out there protesting and putting in the hard yards to fucking do us all a favour. That said, I do think, what the fuck were you doing in Canning Town?
Yeah.
Westminster, yes. Do you know what I mean? Areas of big industry. Go and lobby big fucking companies, whether it's BP or any of these other polluting companies that you read about in the newspaper, right? But what the fuck has Canning Town done?
Well, that's it.
Don't go to Canning Town.
They're banned from the centre of London now, so they've had to go out to the fringes, and they've gone to Canning Town.
What fucking idiots in charge of it? We can't go. We can't go to central London. Anyone got any other ideas? There's a place called Canning Town. Let's go and disrupt.
Sounds rather quaint.
Let's go and disrupt the local commuters there. Oh, yes, good. And we can play our bongo drums and do our tribal dancing. People may find it entertaining. We might convert a few people.
You can do some yoga.
Mates, lads, I'm just trying to get to fucking work, right? I'm trying to get to work. Please get out of my fucking way.
If I don't get to work, I don't get paid. If I don't get paid, my kids don't get fed. I'm not driving a car to work or anything, so,
Exactly. So that was the argument that was going on my WhatsApp, and it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I'm all for Extinction Rebellion, but I don't know whether that this shows a bit of strategic naivety, because shit like that is only going to turn the ordinary person against you.
Yeah.
And really what you need is to be converting loads of people. They'd be better off, like, you know, all wearing sort of suits and looking like bank managers, to be honest.
Well, that one wasn't he, on the top of the train this morning? He was all suited up, But did you see the footage of the woman who glued herself to somewhere on the DLR? She glued herself to a platform or something.
Well, and that's another idea they've nicked off West Ham.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And a crowd had gathered round her, and the crowd were all asking her, how did you get here today? And she couldn't answer them.
What?
Did you come on the train? Did you come in a car, the bus? How did you get here?
Loads of people. Someone superglued themselves to the BBC, didn't they? There's a lot of superglued, and that is... And if you haven't listened to one of our sister pods, A Casual Chat with Kaz, which is presented by Kaz Pennant, who's a remarkable man who's led a remarkable life, and he interviews various different people. In fact, it's not all football related by any means, but one of his recent ones, which is coming up on season 3, he interviewed West Ham legend Frank McAvennie. Who you should be interested in whether you're a West Ham fan or not, because there's a man who has had an extraordinary life. And of course, the man who conjured the classic, "Ah, it's just a wee bit of Charlie," when he got collared at Glasgow Airport with a wrap in his pocket.
Yeah.
That's what he said to the old Bill. Anyway, he did him, he did loads of people. But it was Kaz Pennant, who, as I understand it, originally superglued himself to something in protest. It was when
it was a furniture store, wasn't it?
Yeah, he'd bought a sofa, and the sofa, what's the word? It started to perish after just a couple of months. And so he went back to sofa shop and asked for a refund, and they gave him the old, "Read the small print, mate." I think it was a South London. It was a South London dodgy furniture shop. And they got, "Oh, yeah, foam coming out already, is it? That's a shame. Read the fucking small print, pal." Which is a ballsy thing to say to a man like Kaz Pennant.
Yeah.
And Pat Kaz said, "Yeah, I was worried you might say something like that." And he very calmly produced one of those quite small tubes that you get in a hardware shop of super fucking strong super glue. And just very calmly and slowly put a line of this glue along his gigantic forearm. He's a big bloke, isn't he?
He
and then just pressed his forearm to the counter. Then calmly
removed his...
Yeah, your move, motherfucker. Then he got his mobile phone out and called the local paper and said, "You might want to send a photographer down to the high street. There's a commotion. There's a commotion in the sofa shop." And he got a refund.
Obviously, we don't condone that kind of behaviour, but we completely condone that kind of behaviour.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, so I don't think I've got the balls, but after Kaz first told me that story many years ago, and I shared it with my mates, we all became obsessed with super gluing ourselves to things. So a common one was when you're on an away day, you do the old... I mean, you're a man o' trains, aren't you? You're a man o' trains, like Portillo. And, you know, it's like that. We were talking about it the other day, like, it gets really rammed. It gets ram-packed.
Ram-packed is the official word,
And you just go into first class. And, of course, when you're on football away days, you do that almost as a matter of course. Do you know what I mean? You get on the train and you just automatically go into the first-class carriage and think, hopefully no one will give us any shit. But the best thing to do in a first-class carriage, if you don't have a ticket and you're worried they're going to eject you, is just to superglue yourself to it.
Superglue yourself to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Any given situation where, you know...
Well, the ticket guy comes around, he goes, "I see your tickets." You give him your ticket, and then he goes, "Whoa, hang about. This isn't the right ticket. You're second class." And you go, "Oh, sorry about that." And he goes, "You're going to have to move." And I go, "Sorry, I can't. Before I realised that I was in the wrong carriage, I superglued myself to it." So,
yeah, it's what I do.
Say, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I mean, you could have tickets for, like, let's say, Paul McCartney. But all you could afford were the tickets right at the back, the really cheap seats that are only 90 quid. You really wanted the 400 quid seats, but you couldn't afford them. Go in early when the doors open, sit down in the front row, super glue yourself to the armrest. There you go. What are they going to do?
Is Paul McCartney playing soon, mate?
No. Well, I use that as an example of an expensive ticket I bought once.
But just let me know if he does.
Well, you got an issue with him?
No, I don't want to go and fucking fight Paul McCartney.
Sounds like it.
I do not. I wouldn't fight Paul McCartney. I reckon he's quite handy.
I don't know if he is, but I reckon he could beckon people that would be very, very quickly.
What about Ringo? Do you reckon he's hard?
Nah, not at all, no.
John Lennon reckoned he was hard, but he was actually... He was a bit. He was a cunt, wasn't he? Let's be honest.
He was probably one of them fellows who reckons he's odd, but he's not.
Yeah, he's fucking full of himself, wasn't he?
Blind as a bat, basically, so he wouldn't be able to see what he was fighting.
Yeah, blind cunt. So, you can't see where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So what we're saying
is, Ringo's had enough kickings in his life while shit-faced on brandy that he doesn't care anymore.
He's one of those. He goes, well, I wouldn't say I was hard as such, but I will say that I know how to take a good kicking, which is a type of hardness, said Thomas.
Why do you want to get near to Paul McCartney? What's that about?
I know. I'd like to see him in concert one time before he drops dead.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. That's why I went last year. That was basically it.
Yeah, I just want to see him do Live and Let Die, don't I, live? And then
there was explosions.
Off.
There was explosions doing Live and
I've
Let
Die.
I've
seen it on telly when he does explosions. Yeah. I'll walk in, I'll go, do Live and Let Die. As soon as he'd done it, I'd go, right, that's it, I'm off.
Right, I'm in the front row, I've super glued myself to the armrest. If you could just do Live and Let Die first, I'll fuck off.
Oh, all right then.
Lads, change the set list.
Fab. So what we've agreed is that George is not only the best looking and nicest of the Beatles, he was also the hardest.
Well, we've just agreed that because we didn't mention him, because he's dead. But but then so's John.
Yeah,
so
is John. So is John.
Speaking of the Beatles, tonight, Thursday, by the time this comes out, I'm going to a talk by the author Mark Lewisohn, who's written massive biographies of the Beatles. And
really?
He's doing a tour where he talks about Abbey Road, the album, for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, there's
and
a lot of
sound
stuff
clips
about Abbey Road
and,
at the moment,
and
isn't
lots
there?
Of, like, new facts and things. So I'm going to that tonight.
Oh,
cannot
Abbey
wait.
Road facts.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Abbey Road facts. Fact one.
Abbey Road is the name of an album and a street.
It is the only known album that is named after a street.
Fact two. Abbey Road isn't just a road. It has pavements on either side.
Fact three. The picture of Abbey Road on the cover of Abbey Road is in fact not Abbey Road.
No, hang on, it is.
Abbey Road. It is Abbey Road.
Sorry, yes. But ignore fact three.
It would be a great fact, though, wouldn't it? We should do that. Send us your facts that aren't facts. Like when I said an ox can't dream. That was a good one. That was a good made-up fact.
Yeah.
Send us your best made-up facts. Do top fives. Send us your top five not facts that aren't facts.
And
facts
we'll steal
that aren't
them.
Factual.
We'll steal them and put them in next year's live show.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Friday.
Feedback. We've had some stuff that's come in. We asked for... What, are you still recording? Has it gone off?
Yeah. No, I just... When you said feedback, I got nervous.
No, because your recording's been going off, hasn't it? Are we still...
No.
Are we still
we're at
intact?
The moment, we're all right. We're all right at the moment, yeah.
We asked for neighbour nicknames, things that you call your neighbours when you don't know their real names.
Yeah.
Just a few from the Twitter... Gareth Barker says, not so much neighbour nicknames, but when I used to get a very early bus to work, there was only ever a few of the same people on it. That's another good scenario as well. People you see on the commute every day.
Commute
you don't know
people.
Their names. Yeah. You've got nicknames to them as well. Two of them used to get on my stop, a man and a woman. I named them Man's Haircut and Flat Cap Poirot. So there we are.
So I'm assuming he called the woman
was Man's haircut, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I used to give nicknames to people on holiday when I used to go all-inclusive. And one of them was called Nightwig. And she was just chewy because she just wore a wig at night. You'd see her by the pool during the day with regular hair. And then at night, she'd go out for drinks in the bar. Wig on.
Really?
Yeah. Brazen.
Well, I think it shows a lot of commitment to glamour.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing, it's no different than wearing a hat or a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Ryan Blackadder says neighbour names Mr. and Mrs. Long Drive. They've got a drive long enough for four cars, but they park on the road and fuck the street up instead.
Oh, the cunts.
Yeah.
And what are they doing with their drive then? Why don't they?
I don't know. There's a lot of that goes on around my way as well. Fucking
if I had a drive, I'd always park in it.
Get on your fucking drive. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
And Mr. Cunt and his white wife. He says both of them are white, so I'm not sure how this started. Fair
right.
enough. One more. A.D. Womersley, neighbour nickname. As a kid, we had a few neighbours who used to get really angry when we kicked the football in their gardens and went to get it. The other couple were Mean Gene and Mario. Mario wasn't Italian, he just looked like Super Mario. There we are.
We've had so many neighbours' nicknames. I mean, that's just scraping the surface.
They're just from the Twitter.
Yeah.
Have you got some of the emails there?
Well, there's a couple of historical ones. Oh, yeah. Dad's story. So this is actually original Stray Man. I was out having dinner with him and Stray Woman, his wife.
Nice.
And they both have really good, strong dad stories. So I said, listen, I'll forget these. Email them over.
Nice.
So they came through the other day. Drunk dad on a roof story. This is Stray Man grew up in Halifax, which I've mentioned before, and his dad, who's no longer with us, was Irish. Mm. And not pandering to stereotypes, but from what I can tell, he did like a drink of an evening.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a drunk dad on a roof story. He says, my mum and dad were a strange couple. She's teetotal. He was a pisshead. One night, he came back from the pub, and for reasons best known to himself, he decided to climb onto the half roof that juts out from our living room. You know the sort, don't you? I think it's the flat sort. Beneath their bedroom. My mum was in bed and heard this tapping on her window. She thought she'd imagined it, but there it was again. She pulls back the curtains and jumped out of her skin. There he is, smiling and waving. She literally screamed aloud, waking the whole house. When she went down to open the door, she found my dad's shoes and socks neatly placed on the doorstep and him struggling to negotiate his way down from the roof.
From the half roof.
Why is he taking his shoes and socks off so he can climb like a monkey?
Yeah, probably.
He goes, he had form for this kind of thing. Another time, I was woken by someone chucking stones at my window. I called my mum. She said, it'll be some hooligan. And then she pulled back the curtains. It's your father. I think he was hoping that I would sneak him in somehow without her noticing. So two different approaches to coming home drunk. One, you try to sneak past your wife. The other one, you do the opposite, climb up on the roof and try to scare her.
Brilliant.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Would you like more from your Top Flight Time Machine experience? If so, subscribe now to the Iron Filing Society, our Patreon subscription thing, which will only cost you £3 plus VAT each month. Sam, tell them what you get.
You get an exclusive episode of one of the deep dives, which at the moment is the Melchester Odyssey, in which we go through the whole of the 80s annual of Roy the Rovers. You get your Kevin Keegan deep dives a week in advance. You get all your other episodes, usually a good 8 hours before the other cunts who can't be bothered forking out.
All of those advert-free as well. Free of adverts such as fucking this one. And you get the knowledge that you're helping to contribute towards this podcast continuing, because if we don't get enough subscribers, we're fucking it off.
Yeah, just remember, we don't do this for the fun.
So go to tftimemachine.com/ironfilings to find out more and subscribe at patreon.com/topflighttimemachine. Fucking do it.
£3. You can't fucking go wrong.
Red hot content.
The other one is Joe's dad. This is Stray Woman's dad. And he's got this eye for a bargain. And he read online, I really like this one, he read online that one of the supermarkets was doing a special offer. Right, if you spend £70, you got 40% off on a bottle of wine.
Nice.
Right?
I love a bargain.
That sounds like a really good deal. Okay, so he was so excited by this that he went straight online, but he couldn't be asked to tot up £70 in bits and bobs. I think he sort of goes, he leaves the shopping to his wife. So he didn't really know his way around the supermarket or the supermarket website or how to spend £70. Yeah, exactly. So he thought he couldn't be asked to type £70 on bits and bobs. So he just ordered 7 bags of pasta at £10 each. He didn't consider that £10 was a lot for a bag of pasta or how big the bags might actually be.
Sacks of pasta.
When they arrived, they were huge, like sacks of pasta. There was so much pasta, they had to store it in another room, forever known since as the pasta room. And it was just to get 40% off a fucking bottle of wine. Right. Fucking hell. 40% off, I'll have some of that. Right. Sainsbury's. Right, type it in, .com. Right, I've got to spend £70, double quick. Fuck it. How much is pasta? Perfect. You always need pasta. £10 a bag. Great. 7 bags. That'll feed us for about a week. He had like a year's worth of pasta. We'll list that under the category of when bargains go wrong.
Yeah. What's for tea today? Pasta again. Only that wine left to go with it. No, it's all gone. Fucking hell.
Apparently, every time anyone goes round to the house, he offers them pasta, to take home with them. Do you want some pasta?
Yeah.
Take some pasta and you can have it for dinner. No, you're all right. Fucking take some. They open the door and the pasta falls out and stuff.
Pasta room. It's not gone off or anything. It's fine.
I've got a couple of other stories to report from real life.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why it's a tickle bit. Might tickle you, might tickle the cameras. I don't know, but I've been chuckling about it all week. We were sitting around the dinner table and my daughter asked my son, Len, if he'd ever cried during a film. She was talking about a film, I can't remember which one, that she'd cried in. And he said, yeah, once. And she went, what was it in? And he went, in that film, Johnny. And she went, Johnny, I don't know that film. He goes, yes, you do. You watched it with me. There's loads of them. It was the fourth one. Johnny 4. And she said, I can't remember what happened. He went, it was the one where his mate got punched by the Russian and dropped dead. And she went, do you mean Rocky? And he was like, oh yeah, that's it. And he thought that the Rocky franchise was in fact the Johnny franchise.
Johnny franchise.
Johnny 1, Johnny 2, Johnny 3, Johnny 4, and of course Johnny Balboa. Yeah. And but it reminded me of Basra because there's always conflict between my wife and I on what films the kids should and shouldn't be allowed to watch. Yeah. But you got to remember, when I was a kid, right, I had 3 older brothers and there was martial law where we lived. And at the bottom of the road, there was a record shop called Spinning Discs that sold records. It was sort of mainly kind of like a bit of a throwback kind of rock and roll type place from my memory. Right. But it also sold pirate videos out the back. Ooh. And you had to ask the geezer, right, what have you got?
Mm.
And I don't know, some of them were of an adult nature, but a lot of them were like 80s video nasties, like I Spit on Your Grave, for example. And these fucking films, right, whether they be horror films or violent films or even films that weren't particularly, they were nowhere near video nasties, but they were fucking thoroughly inappropriate for like a 7-year-old boy, right? Mm. So things like Quadrophenia, where there was a lot of fighting and swearing and drug taking and, you know, having sex down bin alleys and all the rest of it, right?
Ooh.
And then like some really mad shit. And my brothers would just watch it. My mum would go out in the evening and leave them to babysit, and they'd have their mates round and they'd sit round, they're teenagers or whatever, they'd sit round drinking, smoking drugs and watching these fucking mad films, and I would never get sent to bed because I don't know, they couldn't be bothered sending me to bed.
They weren't asked,
right? And so I'd sit there with all their mates just watching these fucking mad films, right? And I suppose looking back, some of the shit I saw probably was a bit traumatic, but I don't remember crying or anything. But as a result of that, when we sit down to watch films together as a family here, I'll say something like, for instance, Die Hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go, let's watch Die Hard. And my wife looks at me, who grew up in a, let's say, slightly more stable environment, right? She looks at me like I've said, let's put on a fucking snuff movie, right? And I'm going, it's fucking Bruce Willis. I mean, yeah, there's violence, but it's cartoon violence. It's not like fucking horrible being stabbed to death and shit like that. It's just fucking silly machine guns. She thinks I'm fucking insane. So anyway, that's an ongoing thing, and I'm sure there'll be cunters out there who have similar problems within their family.
I watched Die Hard when it was on ITV a couple of years ago, and I remember thinking as it came on, oh, I might show the kids this sometime.
Yeah,
Die Hard,
yeah.
Isn't it? Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard. Hard stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's almost like the point of this story is that I think, I'm not saying I'm right, my wife's wrong.
You're misremembering it.
Of course, it's the other way around. She is right. Okay, because I bore her. Well, when I was their age, I'd seen spit on your grave like five times.
Didn't do me any harm.
I'm
just a fucking nutter who fucking does a podcast with my mate and talks about my testicles. Right?
That was to show the kids Die Hard.
Yeah. So I said, let's watch Rocky. This is about a year and a half ago. So poor old Len would have only been like five and a half or something. I said, let's watch Rocky. She was not into the idea. We went back and forth, and in the end I played, oh, stop it, fuck's sake. Stop being so tight. It's fucking Rocky, Rocky 4. It's like the silly one where it got kind of cartoonish. They'll love it. So I put it on, or Johnny, as we should always henceforth call it. I put Johnny on 4. Johnny 4. I put on Johnny 4. It starts great, right? I don't know if you remember, but in one of the opening scenes, Johnny has bought... who's his really annoying cunt brother-in-law?
Paulie.
He's bought Paulie a fucking robot. Yeah, he's bought him a robot butler for his birthday, right? So, obviously, Len's thinking, yeah, this is a fucking good film, this. I'm settling down for this. This is wicked. It's about a couple of lads who live together in an awesome rig with a robot butler. Hey, fucking count me in.
Taking notes.
Then fucking Dolph Lundgren turns up and he's like, yeah, this is pretty good, right? This bloke seems like a bit of a cunt. Hopefully he's going to get a hiding at some point, right? Then Apollo Creed comes out of retirement, still good. Then the fight starts and fucking James Brown's there singing Living in America, right, with all the fanfare and that.
Great
and then
stuff,
you're like, this is brilliant. That's one of the best scenes you can ever see. The bit with James Brown. And then Apollo comes up dressed in the stars and stripes, dancing with his top hat on, right?
Yeah.
Yay! These Johnny films are great, Dad. I know, right? I fucking love Apollo. He's the best. I like him even more than Johnny. Yeah, Apollo's great, son. Anyway, watch this. It gets really good in a minute. Fucking fight starts, and the fight is more brutal than you remember, even before the bad bit. I mean, oh yeah, actually, maybe Anna was right. There is quite graphic violence in the Johnny films. And then, obviously, he punches him in the head. In slow-mo, Apollo Creed goes down. The wife runs in the ring. The doctor looks up, shakes his head. Len says, is he okay? I say, because I think there's no getting around it, the entire plot of this movie is based around the fact that Dolph Lundgren has just killed Johnny's best mate, right?
Have I misremembered it? Or does Apollo's head not come clean off his shoulders and roll across the ring?
Yeah, that's what happens, yeah. It flies off. It makes a noise like that, sort of like it's a whistling noise. And it lands in the lap of Johnny. And Johnny starts crying. We should do a deep dive into Johnny 4, right? Ah, fucking hell. He's knocked his head clean off. I'm fucking fuming. I'm fuming about this.
Then we've got a bug.
And anyway, I thought, I can't lie. Because in a lot of things, you lie, you go, ah, no, he's fine. But the whole fucking, it's the catalyst for the whole film is that he has killed Johnny's best mate.
Yeah.
So I've gone, no, he's dead. He's dead.
Yeah.
Apollo's dead. Len's face, it was one that's just thinking about it now makes me want to cry. His face, you know when a child's face breaks into tears? It just, it crumpled, right? It just crumpled. And he wasn't crying a bit. He was crying really badly, like really badly. And like Anna's obviously looking at me.
Told you
all,
so.
All smug. Dickhead. Right, dickhead. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. So I switched the film off.
Come on then, put our son back together now.
Yeah. So I cuddled him, I put the film off, we put on fucking, I don't know, bloody Shrek 2. Fucking Shrek 2, the best one, because it's the got one with the fucking puss in boots in, right? Which is hilarious. I mean, puss in boots is in the subsequent films as well, but in the second one, he has much more of a prominent role. Yeah. And he's very funny. Yeah. Anyway, actually, speaking of that, he got his own standalone movie in the Shrek universe.
Oh, yeah.
Puss in Boots got his own standalone movie, which is fucking hilarious. And yet it disappeared without trace. They never made a sequel or anything. It's fucking really funny. Really, really funny.
Seek that out tonight.
Anyway, so that was that. And so it brings back bad memories, Len's encounter with the Johnny movies. But I think the edge is taken off the sadness by him misremembering that one of the most famous franchises in the history of cinema is Johnny.
Do you know what the lyrics to the Rocky theme is, don't you?
What?
Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5, Rocky 6. And then they stopped doing them after that.
You missed out Rocky Balboa. I think Rocky 6
6, yeah, but that doesn't sound, it doesn't scan as good.
Rocky 5, Rocky Balboa.
Okay. But of course it's Johnny now, so you got to sing it as Johnny.
Yeah, oh, well, we've done that one before, and it's a fucking really good get-in-touch subject. It is, what are your lyrics to lyricless theme songs?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Because my favourite, I did Grandstand years ago, and it went like this. Mum loves sport, but dad loves sport, but auntie loves sport. We all love sport. Brother likes sport. Sister loves sport. Cousin loves sport. We all love sport. Boom, 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 boom. We love to watch sport on a Saturday afternoon. We love to watch Grandstand. We love to watch Grandstand.
Except at 1:40 till 2:15 when it's the equestrian. Who gives a fuck?
And anyway, it's bollocks. I didn't like to watch Grandstand because there's all shit sport on it, and yeah. I just wanted to watch the football.
I'll tell you what, though, if it came back, you'd sit through it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
Jesus
now.
Christ, yeah.
It's more my speed now. I'm a 44-year-old, but when I was like a teenager, I was living life fast. I was flying by the seat of my pants. I wanted action all the time. And, you know, Des Lynam, who did it? Steve Ryder just wasn't cutting the mustard for me.
Yeah. But now, I'll watch highlights of any sport.
Do you feel that the Britpop era was the death knell for Steve Ryder? Because things changed, New Labour were on the rise, everyone was drinking Caffreys, Eltel was in charge of the England team, Oasis versus Blur for the number one spot, and Steve Ryder suddenly looked like a fucking dinosaur.
He looked out of touch, didn't he? Amiable, but a musty old relic.
Yeah, he was a relic of the old school. He tried to grow his hair. He tried to get a feathered sort of, you know, Liam hairstyle, but it just didn't sit right with his John Lewis menswear range. It just wasn't right.
He once wore the round sunglasses, didn't he?
Like John Lennon style.
Yeah.
He got a massive oversized anorak.
Yeah.
And I remember once, it was actually embarrassing, but he once presented live badminton from the Commonwealth Games, but he was sat at his desk, but he had a can of Red Stripe in his hand that he was swigging from. And I was thinking, mate, you're trying too hard.
Incredibly right? gone.
Yeah, you're trying too hard, right? We all love living in the Britpop era, but you're making a cunt out of yourself.
It's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
It's not for cunts some like of us, you.
Some of us could keep up. Some of us couldn't. Steve Ryder couldn't.
Stay in your fucking lane, Ryder. Hey, talking of sports, should we do some football predictions before we go?
Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Here we go. We're Wolves versus Southampton.
2-1.
No, so you're not doing the high press there.
I was sitting right back there, wasn't I?
Yeah, on the counter-attack. Wolves, Southampton, I'm going to say 2-0 to Wolves. Right. Results spot for all of these, of course, says 1-0. I'll go first this one. Chelsea versus Newcastle. I reckon 3-0 to Chelsea. Sam?
2-0.
2-0.
Manchester United versus Liverpool.
Oh, 0-3.
Fucking hell. I'm going to
say. Big call from Delaney.
Yeah, I reckon 1-1 that one.
Oh, no way, man. Liverpool are going to fucking blow them away. Man U are sitting pretty ready for a fucking absolute annihilation at the hands of Liverpool.
We will see. And then on to our own teams, Wycombe Wanderers versus Sunderland under our new manager, Phil Parkinson, who was appointed this morning.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Phil Parks for a minute. He would have been a great appointment.
Maybe he'll be next.
Phil Parks used to have a sports shop called Parksy's on the Oxbridge Road, right? And me and my mate after school sometimes would just call it up. Because he was, this was at a time when he was still West Ham's goalkeeper. And we would just call up. We'd go, yeah, no. They'd go, hello, Parksies. And I'd go, we'd both be on the line. Or like, yeah. We'd be on separate phones in the same house, you know?
Yeah.
And be like, hello, is Phil there? Sorry, Phil Parks. No, Phil's not in the shop most days. Oh, can I help you with anything? No, goodbye. And we'd
classic
do that
pranking.
Like 3-4 times. But it wasn't a prank. We were hoping they'd say, yes, Phil Parks is in the shop.
And then what would you do? You have to speak to him.
On Wednesdays, he doesn't train with West Ham. He comes here to do stock checks. And they go, oh, Phil, there is someone on the phone. There are two 12-year-old boys on the phone for
Sounds
you.
Important.
They said they have inquiries. He come in and go, hello, Phil Parks here. I imagine speaking like Jeff Capes.
Exactly.
Hello.
Because he looked like a caveman, didn't he?
Yeah.
Phil Parks here. How can I help you? Is it a sportswear inquiry?
Hello, Phil. Hello, Phil Parks. It's me, Sam, and his friend Ollie. Come on, you irons.
Is what? Hey.
Come on, you irons. Go. What do you think the score will be on Saturday when we play Watford?
What is this? I'm in a place of work. I'm retailing sportswear. This is not a forum to just discuss football.
Yeah. What's John Lyle like in real life? Anyway, bye.
But it never happened. He was never there.
No. Anyway, Phil Parkinson, good solid boss, knows his way around the lower leagues.
Yeah, so.
Good appointment. Yeah.
We'll see. 2-1 to Wickham, I reckon, tomorrow.
Is it at Wickham?
It's at Wickham.
1-1.
1-1, all right. The Sunderland scoreline. Everton versus West Ham. You can go first.
0-2. Don't know why that's funny. We beat them last
Marco
season
Silva,
at their place.
Marco Silva's due a win, I think. But I think it'll be 2-1 Everton. Sorry. Finally, results box team Millwall. Brentford versus Millwall.
Oh, I could go to that.
Will you though?
Brentford Millwall, 2-0 Brentford. Come on, you bees!
Would you dare to go, knowing what they know? Well, what they know now about your Achilles heel?
I don't fucking care. Yeah, I'll be ready for them. What is my main characteristic? If there's one defining characteristic of me, Sam Delaney, right? It is the fact that I am always ready and look on the lookout for Millwall's tricks. Right.
I was going to say that you don't think about the possible outcome of any situation.
No, the opposite of that when it comes to Millwall.
I'm going to say 2-1 Brentford.
Okay. Yeah,
that's it. That's
Come
the
on,
end
you
of
beast.
This episode and the end of this week.
Yeah.
Keep your emails coming in. Are you still recording?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, just double checking that.
Fuck for that.
Remember to sign up to the newsletter.
Yeah.
It is at tinyletter.com/TFTM.
It's
right?
a treat.
And,
it's a tonic for the eyes.
It's really good. And when you subscribe, I will send you out the letter because some miserable bastard's going, why didn't I get the letter as soon as I subscribed? Yeah, you'll fucking get it.
There's a fucking archive thing on the page for it. You can click on
I all
know, the
I know, but these
letters.
People, they want you to do everything
Don't fucking
short
them out. You send
wiping
them out when
their
comes.
Ass.
Fucking hell. All right, tell her. Piss me right off that ass.
See you, dickheads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.